She, the fine assemblywoman and representing the 2nd Assembly District. I haven't spoke to her in a while. It's good to have her. Assemblyman Gigler, how are you? Good to have you aboard.
I'm great. I'm great, Jay. How are you?
Hanging in there. Tough day, but we'll get through this one. Nothing like an indoctrination of yourself into the New York State Assembly with the dull type events that have been happening in and around over the last, my goodness, over the last 5 or 6 weeks, a whirlwind for you, I would assume.
Oh, yeah. I've been on the floor asking to recall the governor's executive powers from the vaccination rollout to, just everything that's happened. I don't even know why one person would want to take all that blame on themselves when things go south, but it's and that's no oxymoron when things go south, because there is a major exodus out of New York State based on decisions and policies that are being put in place every day when I'm in Albany. So it's
Jody, have you had any conversations with colleague Ron Kim out of Flushing?
Well, he did circulate a letter the other day that he was sending off to the governor's office, and I do sit near him on the floor. This was all very shocking to all of us that we were getting so much Democratic support, because we've been having press conferences. We had one a couple of weeks ago with Janice Dean and a couple of the families that were affected by the loss of loved ones in nursing homes. And then we had another press conference last week with Minority Leader Will Barkley, who, you know, really, we're just putting the case out there. And the fact that the state and Cuomo's office was having conversations with the Democratic Party about how they were frozen and how the Department of Justice investigation was going on into the nursing homes, and that the minority conference didn't even know that there was an investigation going on. Neither did the Democratic conference. So it was, as it unravels, you know, it's a cover-up of a cover-up, and we have to get the answers. We have to get the answers for all those people that were in nursing homes, that are still in nursing homes, and the people that are expected to go in and out of those nursing homes, to make sure that they have the proper PPE. God forbid we get another strain, which is what we're hearing is coming around. So it's
variants, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. What about, I had Janice on earlier. What about the investigation? Why the U.S. District Court, Brooklyn, doing it? Why not the Northern District? Situation regarding Melissa DeRosa's family member representing that district? Is that why the Brooklyn area is kind of leading the way here? What about that aspect?
Yeah, it's all unraveling, but the minority conference is asking for an independent outside look into things to make sure that none of that gets brought into it, and that it's looked at on the basis that it should be, with many lives lost. So we are pushing for an independent audit. We, Department of Justice, can do it through the Brooklyn courts, but we are really asking for the state to get an independent person and an independent firm to look at this.
Seems like the Senate's on board as far as the stripping of powers emergency. I mean, at the very least, do you see any obstacles when this thing heads to the Assembly?
No. As a matter of fact, we've been calling for it for weeks. I was on the floor a couple of weeks ago. It's on my Facebook page, the clip from me asking to strip his executive powers. It's time for the legislative body to work together with the governor to come up with a COVID recovery committee to get our kids back in school, to get our businesses going, and to make sure that the vaccinations are rolling out properly, that they are proportionate to the districts of the highest groups in those districts, that we get more vaccination centers around the state and make it easier for our constituents, for those that want it, to get it. And it's interesting, too, because you don't know what he's going to come out with next that's an executive order or an executive power. And I get a lot of phone calls into my office from constituents that are concerned about the mandatory vaccination and even going so far as saying, you know, are the stormtroopers going to show up at my front door with a vaccination telling me I have to get vaccinated, or are they going to take me away and put me somewhere so that I'm not a public health threat? So there's a lot of concern out there about how this has been handled and the governor having all these executive powers.
No question. Jody Gugel with us, Assemblywoman, 2nd District. You know, we had Jerry Gandolfo on, Jody, a couple of weeks ago, and he kind of led the way with a bill regarding the opening of these restaurants till midnight, which really made sense. I mean, you look at positivity rates. I mean, they're low. We know they are. Yet the governor only came back till around 11 o'clock. I mean, that gives you an example right here of maybe wielding a little too much power. Maybe it's just gone to his head. Listen, there's no question in my mind. He could have easily went to midnight, Super Bowl Sunday, prime example, Valentine's Day, for crying out loud. I mean, it just doesn't make sense. But it's almost as if he does not want to give in completely to the outcry. Let me just give you, I'll throw you some sort of a bone here. That's what he was doing here. Let's go to 11 o'clock, not 12. Is that the consensus as well as far as how that thinking is going?
Yeah, it's arbitrary. The decisions that are being made are arbitrary, especially when the science shows that the major spread is happening at house parties and large gatherings at people's homes. So if people can't go and watch the Super Bowl and watch the game in its entirety because they have to be out of a restaurant by 10 o'clock, they're going to have people over their house and they're going to watch the game from home. And that you don't have the social separation distances. You don't have a lot of things that the restaurants and the bars are set up to do, which is to keep people somewhat spread out from one another. So it is. And the decisions are arbitrary. I mean, why 11 o'clock? Why not 12?
Makes no sense. Even with the amusement parks, you know, the outdoor, you know, 33% capacity in April, indoors 25%. And the whole thing is just, it's like piecemealing here. And meanwhile, you know, I look at these bars and restaurants, which I have loved, you know, especially my own Spiro's there in Rocky Point. I mean, my goodness, the man had his liquor license. Now, it was taken away. Now, listen, it was a little, you have too many people in there. You got to be careful. As a proprietor, you got to watch that. But, you know, it's kind of a derivative of these owners hanging on to dear life, you know? And it's almost as if, you know, there's a glaze as far as in real time what's happening, but really a derivative of what the orders were coming down from Albany and for so long. So in a way, I feel for some of these restaurant and bar owners, the Savino's and the Spiro's of Rocky Point, because it's almost as if their hands are tied here. They're trying to stay afloat.
Oh, they are, and a lot of restaurants and a lot of businesses are feeling that, and it's just it's one man making all the decisions. So we, the Minority Conference, launched a website, www.investigatecuomo.com, and that is calling on Letitia James to appoint a special prosecutor to see if there's anything criminal that was done. So if your listeners want to go on to investigatecuomo.com, you know, the petition is there. You can sign it. It automatically generates a letter to the attorney general, and it's calling for a special prosecutor. So they'll be collected. They'll be broken down by district, upstate, and then shared with the assembly and the Senate. So let's get to the bottom of this, and let's do it in a fashion where it's not going to favor the governor. We know that he gets angry if people turn their backs on him, so it really needs to be done by a special prosecutor.
See, when you pry into areas where he's not used to, you know, that's when he seems to have a lot of vitriol, as in the case of what's going on here. If it was actually, you know, that threat was made to Ron Kim privately at his home, you know, with his wife standing by, kids and everything else, wife in tears, you know, it was a mess. I saw their interview last night. So that's very troubling to me. Very troubling to me. Joe Giglio with us, Department of Health Commissioner. Listen, this guy's not fit to run a lemonade stand, much less a health department for the state. Everything he has done, Jody, he has, you know, I watched those briefings. He didn't know which way to turn when questions were asked in the beginning regarding these nursing homes. And I look at the vaccination sites, and even that is somewhat questionable, the way they have been up and running. And, you know, I look at Stony Brook and the compromise link in the 20,000 that were wiped out, the appointments put back in play. You know, why does Howard Zucker still have a job?
Yeah, it's terrible. And like I'm getting those phone calls also, many phone calls every day of people that are 75, 85 years old, that are in group, and they're already moving on to the next group, okay? So we let a few of the ones in group 1A slip through the cracks, and those people are going to be in the back of the line to get vaccinations while we go to 1B. That's why it needs to be done by the whole legislative body, the Assembly, the Senate, with the governor, to figure out how to get the most vulnerable people vaccinated, because if they get sick, they're going to end up in nursing homes, and if they don't have the vaccinations, it's bad. What about the people that are just going into nursing homes? We've had a few nursing homes homes out here where they have actually gone in and they've given the vaccinations to the patients or the people that are in the nursing homes, but they haven't given them to the healthcare workers. And what happens if somebody goes into the nursing home today that wasn't there when they gave out the vaccinations and, you know, they get sick with COVID? It starts it all over again. There was a bill on the floor right now, actually, in 1052A. It was amended. I was happy to see it a couple of weeks ago because in the minority conference, you can't put a bill up. You have to get somebody in the majority to carry the bill for you or like the idea so that they sponsor the bill, and then you, if you get along well with them, you'll be the prime co-sponsor. So it's interesting how it happens, but there's a bill pending that says that you can designate two caregivers to come into the nursing homes and take care of you. And the biggest advocate for people in nursing homes are their loved ones, and they can help the nurses that are there taking care of their loved ones by being in the room with them and get them tested and make sure that they're not sick when they're coming in to take care of their loved ones. But you know, we really need to start letting people in to visit their loved ones in hospitals and nursing homes. These people are falling apart because they don't know what's happening. We had one lady say that her 91-year-old grandmother that raised her had dementia, and she was in a nursing home, and she just deteriorated. They watched her deteriorate over FaceTime for a month because she wasn't eating. She was confused as to why no one was coming to visit her. And you need to get that advocacy back in for these people that can't speak up for themselves, and to also help the staff that's there. They're understaffed. They're understaffed, and the people are not, they're doing the best they can to take care of these people in there. So we got to open that up. We got to start allowing one person in to visit someone in the hospital, one designated person or you know, designated caregivers to get into the nursing homes and take care of their loved ones.
That's no question. Yeah, we've been crying for that for such a long time. I mean, you could die of loneliness for crying out loud. These people need human contact of some sort. My goodness. Jody Giglio with us. A couple of minutes. Now, two quick ones for you. So, has Andrew Stewart-Cousins, or Carl Hasty, Jody, have they sounded off at all here? Because, you know, 14 Democrats have gone by way of Republicans about joining the cry as far as the stripping here. What about the leaders here, Assembly and Senate? What have they said?
We haven't heard much from Crystal Stokes Peoples, and we have not, or Crystal Stokes, can't say it right. And I sit practically right next to her, a couple people away in the chamber. But Crystal, we haven't heard much from her, and we haven't heard anything from Hasty.
Hasty, what is the need for Hasty to say something? My goodness. You know, I can't figure that guy out. I mean, come on. I mean, you got to rose-colored glasses. What's the saying? I don't even know anymore. You know, I mean, it's like ridiculous. Come on. This is where leadership comes into play. Now, take me to this legalization, recreational marijuana and everything else going on here. I had Tony Palumbo on yesterday, and it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. They are in such a hole right now for dollars. They're looking to get a stream of revenue somewhere. They could care less that we're in a pandemic. You feel that way too?
Yeah, I definitely see it in the budget. They're talking about having these people that are going to be trained to be able to detect whether or not someone is under the influence of marijuana. That doesn't make any sense to me. While they're driving, or if there's an accident or something, there's going to be these drug detectors that they're going to be trained to be able to know if the person was on marijuana or not within a 24-hour period prior to the accident or prior to getting taken care of. The proposed sale of these facilities are right next to schools. So 500 feet away from a school, you can open up a retail facility to sell marijuana. And that was something that I brought up on the floor because last week there was a resolution on the floor for it's clean air, water, and healthful living was the bill that was put up by Engelbright and Setauket. And when it came to the clean air and water, I said, you know, we have people that are southbound of the Grumman facility where they're on water. Their wells are contaminated. And we need to get them public water. We need to extend public water to them. So that's something we're pushing for. But then I asked Engelbright on the bill if he thought that growing marijuana and selling marijuana 500 feet away from a school that most of the schools don't even have air conditioning with the windows open, if that was considered a healthful environment to him on the bill. And he said something about gerrymandering and then went on to something else.
You know, people have to get a feel for what's going on out there in real time. You know, we're in a pandemic. I mean, come on. Is this the conversation to be having right now? It's crazy. People right now, they're overdosing on pills. You know, there's drugs out there. There's depression. There's alcohol. There's a crisis, financial, you name it. Yet let's legalize pot. That's the way to go right now. I can't figure out. I can't figure it out.
And then the loitering for prostitution, you know, that's in the health committee. Paulins put up a bill that took the powers away from police officers to be able to go up and ask someone, hey, are you prostituting? Because they felt that the police officers shouldn't be able to ask that question. So it just took another tool away. And I had spoken to the district attorney's office that said, out of all the cases that we prosecute for prostitution, he said, we've used that a few times, 240.37, to go up and ask. And it's really to identify people that are victims of sex traffickers that may need help. But now you can't even approach them and ask them if they need help because it could be considered harassment. That, and then there's another bill for Narcan, where if someone has Narcan on them, you can't use that against them for any trial, hearing, or proceeding. So if you pick somebody up and there's a burglary, or if you can't use that as evidence that they had Narcan on them. And I asked for it to be laid aside so that I could speak on the bill because I have concerns. And our police officers, and if, for example, there's a homicide. So if somebody falls back, cracks their head open, they have a needle sticking out of their arm, they have a Narcan bottle next to them, somebody takes a picture of them laying there with the Narcan bottle and the needle, they can't bring that into evidence, and that's what I'm going to bring up on the floor. Or if you have somebody that falls back and hits their head, knocks their head open, cracks their head open, and somebody that's with that person calls 911, a police officer comes to the scene, administers the Narcan, and sometimes when people come out of being in an overdose situation, they become combative. So if they start punching and, you know, their head is already cracked open from the fall, you can't, as a police officer, say that you administered Narcan.
Unbelievable. So, I mean, that makes no sense at all. Really, I mean, that's unbelievable. It really is. I mean, why in the heck else would Narcan be there?
They're saying that everybody should feel comfortable carrying Narcan and that it can never be used against them. And I don't disagree with that logic, but that's why we have a process and that's why we have a court system. That's why we have a district attorney that could say to a judge, hey, judge, the officer administered Narcan, or there was Narcan next to the body, that someone tried to revive this person while there was a needle sticking out of their arm. And then leave it up to the defense attorney to say why it shouldn't be brought in as evidence. And let the judge decide whether or not it can be brought into evidence. But they're just taking it out of the process that there cannot be any mention that there was Narcan there.
Yeah, crazy stuff. Still happy you took the job? I bet you are. Listen,
I am. I'm going to keep fighting, and I see things that are wrong and that other people may not see. I mean, one of the things with the nursing home debacle is, you know, what about all the healthcare workers that were in and out of these nursing homes that didn't have the proper PPE? They were walking around with garbage bags. They were leaving COVID patients and going into healthy patients. And it's interesting that the governor, the next day after I said that, came out and started blaming the healthcare workers, saying it wasn't the nursing home. It wasn't the nursing home. It wasn't the people coming out of the hospital going into the nursing homes. It was the people that work at the nursing homes that were bringing it in. So it's I feel as though when I do say things on the floor that people are starting to catch on to some of the things. As a matter of fact, there was a resolution in committee last week, because I'm the ranker on tourism, to rename Robert Moses Park and to rename Donald J. Trump Park in Westchester, Yorktown. And the arguments that I had made in the committee meeting actually brought a couple of the Democratic committee members over to vote with the minority, with the Republicans, about that, those bills. So one of the problems, one of the biggest flaws with the bills was that the commission that would make up to decide whether or not Robert Moses Park should be renamed was comprised solely of the majority party. There were no, it was not a bipartisan commission. So it's little things like that that you make a difference.
And you will continue to do that without question. I got a lot of confidence in you. And you're going to get
Thank
it done.
You.
And it's always always a pleasure to have you on the show. You know that. And anything comes up, you know you have a platform here. We'll talk to you soon. How's that?
Yeah, that sounds great, Jay. Have a great day. Everybody be safe out there. We got some snow coming down now. So be
there
safe.
There you go.
Zoom, zoom,
you
zoom.
You betcha. Yeah. Be careful out there. We'll talk.
Right.
We'll talk. Thanks, Jody.
You too.
You got it, Assemblywoman Jody Giglio, ladies and gentlemen.